possibly more than me.
But not with that picture on the wall.
Not with that picture and not without...
There we have Hegseth and Netanyahu sitting down together for a meeting amidst this visit from Netanyahu less than 24 hours after the Epstein files were... It was revealed to the public that there is no client list. We had Netanyahu visit. Apparently, he presented President Trump with a B-52 model made from all scraps of Iranian missiles that had been used against Israel. And, of course, yesterday or the day before, man, the days just run together when you don't sleep. Bibi Netanyahu presented Donald Trump with the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. And look, I think that Donald Trump probably should win the Nobel Peace Prize. He's the only president in however long it's been, guys, that didn't start any new wars in his first administration. And as terrified as I was of the decisions that he made regarding Iran recently, I think he's been proved correct that it de-escalated everything. I thought it was going to start World War III. I was saying don't do it. I was wrong. He's the master there. So he has de-escalated a conflict between Pakistan and India, and he's de-escalated a conflict between Iran and Israel. And the only real conflict that's still playing out is the one between Russia and Ukraine, which only exists because of the last administration. So I honestly think that Trump is a really good candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize. I wouldn't want to win it myself, given the others who have won it in the past. But what bothered me was seeing Bibi Netanyahu present it. And it's not because I'm in the camp of everything's Israel. I don't believe that. I don't think that Israel is the only country or the Jewish people are the only people who are capable of evil, like some people do. And I also don't believe that they're the only people incapable of evil, like some people do. I'm just kind of reasonable about it. I don't generally trust governments. But when you have someone who's been engaged in, let's just to say the least, it has been a controversial conflict since October 7th. It seems inappropriate. I know that if I was a world leader and I had been accused of war crimes in several countries, even if I knew that I was innocent of them, I would not burden someone with receiving a nomination from the for the Nobel Peace Prize from me. You know, I would think that that would be like almost, maybe we should call somebody else to do it, right? Who's the president of Madagascar? What do you guys think?
You know, I am just so tired of talking about foreign countries. I can't express to you how much I just don't care, man. I don't care. I mean, is that wrong? Am I allowed to just not care what happens overseas at this point? I care about what happens right here. I care about the people in this country. I got to watch what I say here. But, you know, I don't. You're right. But it makes no difference to me what happens in Africa.
Hey, or 78 million people voted for America first.
Right.
Yeah.
There is. It's not America first, you know, alongside other countries like our, what was it, the Secretary of State's press secretary said. America's the greatest country in the world
next to Israel.
Yeah. Like, just come on. It's not, you know, we have a clear mission here. It's America first, not sometimes, but always. And, you know, I'm not shy about saying that. You know, I don't want to, you know, people ask me, they're like, during this whole thing that was going on in, between Iran and Israel, people were constantly saying, you know, you're just anti-Semitic. You're siding with Iran. It's like, no, I literally, it's me not wanting to get involved at all in another foreign war. Trump handled it great. I was pushing back against the Lindsey Grahams of the world.
Oh, yeah. We just need more boots on the ground. Right, yeah. In fact, I hope those soldiers just wear the boots. I think those soldiers look real good, Justin.
Hey, that's great right there. Yeah, that's like on point.
Anyway, if we got to fly with Israel, we got to fly with Israel. If we got to sleep with the IDF soldiers, we got to sleep with the IDF soldiers.
Folks, we're coming up on a one-minute break, just very short while radio stations pick us up after the first five. We're going to unpack this all for the next 20 minutes. Stay with us and make sure you visit thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air.
Dude, that was perfect.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
No lies, no cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
All right, folks, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. And for the next 22 minutes and 38 seconds, I will be joined in studio by the great Nick Sordor and Gunther Eagleman. It is really an honor and a pleasure to have you both here. And we were talking to during the break, making fun of Lindsey Graham and how he's a closet homosexual. And we were saying that we don't care that he's gay. It's just weird that he hides it. And we're so sick of a political class that hides stuff from us, whether it's the Epstein files, whether it's what they're actually doing with our money, whether it's the waste, fraud, and abuse of USAID for years hidden from us. I just want you, Lindsey Graham, to admit to us that you're gay, and that's fine. Look, I get it, man. You're trying to help out Ukraine. You want to give them tens of billions of dollars because everybody knows I love a man in Hugo Boss. Oh my gosh! So. Nick, tell me a little bit about your confrontation with Lindsey Graham. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Well, I mean, it wasn't an in-person confrontation because he hides. Lady G is one of the best. Literally, I mean, the U.S. Capitol hide-and-seek champion. I've tried. I spend a lot of time at the Capitol. I mean, I've gotten Maxine Waters like three times now.
You got to stand outside the women's restroom, dude. You're
in the wrong bathroom. That's the problem. Ah, see?
There you go.
It was when I ended up finally getting a response from her on X at some point when I called out his expenditures in Ukraine, like these wildly huge expenses to go over to Ukraine, you know, like three times in the past 6 months now.
Do you remember?
It was like each trip is hundreds of thousands of dollars just in hotel rooms. And you're like, what are you doing? What kind of room service are you ordering, Lady
G? I like a warm town, young man.
Yeah, right. Look at this thing. And so this is one of Trump's worst decisions right here. I mean, I'm sure that there is some sort of deal making going on in the background, but man, I mean, I don't know what they're doing there in South Carolina. I don't know if this guy, you know, is what South Carolinians look at and like, yeah, that's who I want representing me in the Senate. I don't buy that.
Where's his pride flag?
You know, but it's totally good. Like you said, it's fine if you're gay, Lindsey.
Tom Cotton.
We won't even make fun of you for being gay. As long as we're making fun of the fact that you're hiding that you're gay.
I don't care
That's it.
You like to suck dick, but as soon as you're like it's like shut up, fag.
You know, I don't know. I mean, he's a total piece of work. He's one of our biggest adversaries of the America First movement on Capitol Hill, and you know, and President Trump came out and endorsed him like immediately. And I'm like, bro. Yeah, but the thing is, with President Trump, that the endorsements, first of all, they sometimes don't stick. Secondly, sometimes he endorses. Is there any flattering picture of this guy?
Like, I'm just going to put on my khakis before we go to the front.
But anyway, there are times where
I've never been surrounded by so many men.
Dude, that's so perfect.
He's got it done. He's always got it done. But there is that possibility that if we can get somebody in South Carolina, if you're watching and you have a lot of money and a reasonable, good political acumen, and you're in South Carolina, please send me a DM, run for office, because, you know, you could get endorsed by Trump as well. There are times where he endorses two candidates in the same race. And
I hope they both win.
Yep.
I like them both. I hope they both win. A deal, both sides win if it's a deal.
Yeah. And it's not just Lindsey Graham, too. It's all of these members of the gerontocracy, this political class that appears to be from before the Great Flood with Noah's Ark. I mean, it's just so antiquated. I couldn't believe it when I found out that Joe Biden was born just like 4 years after the air conditioning was invented for the automobile. And you realize he was like 3 or 4 years old by the time Hitler died. So he's old enough, if he could remember anything, to remember Hitler's speeches on the radio. This guy is like so ancient. It's a totally different time that he comes from. And then he's like the most powerful man ever after being a senator for years and never accomplishing anything other than the undermining of the interests of the American people. But why do you think that it's like a situation with like a demographic issue where there's this type of Republican who falls into the baby boomer category and they only get their information from like a Fox News, and so they just don't understand or are not aware of the fact that people like Lindsey Graham, like, they suck?
He literally does.
Yeah.
Better blow jobs than no jobs. Better blow jobs than no jobs. We got to fund that military industrial complex. Don't ask, don't tell.
It's perfect.
You know, the thing with...
I like her, but she's not my type.
You know, I don't want to piss off too many people.
Oh, hey, Michelle. How are you doing?
Big Mike.
I like you.
Wonder why, Lindsey. Go ahead. Sorry, Nick.
No, but you saw Madison Cawthorn. If you remember him,
yeah.
You know, directly calling out Lindsey Graham for this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, the walls close in on Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Well, because he exposed the fact that Kevin McCarthy was, you know, was facilitating with Lindsey Graham drug-fueled orgies on Capitol Hill, and then all of a sudden they pushed him out.
I forgot about that.
I don't think he's lying about it. Why would he lie about that? There's no good reason for Madison Cawthorn to have. Look, see, man, you got some great guys in the back here.
Oh, they're
always ready.
They're amazing.
Orgy and cocaine, you know? And, you know, talk to Matt Gaetz about it. Matt Gaetz will be like, yeah.
Honestly, I would be willing to tolerate the orgies and the cocaine if they were doing everything else right. You know,
it's like, I mean, if that's what helps them make fun. America yeah. great.
Orgy you know. On the taxpayer. Thank you so much for getting us out of war.
all we need is a yes vote. All we need is a yes vote.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what was that guy
you
that
see
was
that?
The Senate no. House porn where he was slamming that
oh,
dude's butt?
Yeah,
Lindsey Graham. I'm so glad that leaked. Huh? I think I might have leaked a little bit. Oh, man. Man.
It was right there on Amy Klobuchar's seat.
I'd like to primary that guy. Unbelievable. So what's going to happen next with this big, beautiful bill? And is Trump's reputation and going to be able to recover after this Epstein stuff? How are these things that are all kind of hovering in the air going to play out? Gunther, what do you think, man?
Well, I think the big, beautiful bill, the tax break for the
American that's great.
People,
yeah,
absolutely. I think it'll play out for the economy really well.
Yeah,
I think people spend money. I think people have
sure.
extra money. You know, I go back to the. I think the Epstein files. Somebody needs to step up and talk. I think
yeah.
that's gonna bite some people in the ass.
Absolutely. Do you think that this America Party from Musk is going to be seriously problematic? Do you think this schism is going to mend itself in time?
I think it's going to mend itself in time. Last I checked, the polling was at 4%.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, I think Musk has his idea of it with his feud with Trump. I like what they've both done for the country.
Sure,
I think Elon helped Trump. Cross that finish line.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying Trump.
It's not even the endorsement that did it. It was just the fact that he made X a free speech platform.
Right.
The fact that there was free speech in a massive way on the internet was enough to get Trump to win,
Huge.
Even if he never endorsed it.
Imagine if on X that we didn't have that free speech.
I remember what it was like a few years ago, but yeah. before it was X, when it was still Twitter. I was self-censoring all the time. I would save what I wanted to post in drafts. And I went back and looked at them, and they were just hilarious, man. But I just knew I couldn't post them because the censorship was so rampant.
Yeah. Well, I think I put a couple years back, COVID was the flu. I mean, it was like gone, seven days.
You're lucky you didn't lose your whole account over that.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I've been suspended twice, both, I guess, mistakes.
Yeah.
And was brought back. And now that with free speech, it's been great. I can.
Yeah, the massive reporting campaigns and the bots are insane.
Yeah.
Do you know what post? Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, go.
And you know what post triggered the suspension?
On it was a meme on the last one. It was a Joe Biden in the shower meme with it, with Ashley.
Yeah.
And it got mass reported. And it wasn't bad. I mean, there was no nudity or anything.
Right.
It got mass reported. And within 42 minutes, I was back up.
That's funny. I was on, I think it was Newsmax. I can't remember. Chris something, some Italian name. It's the host of the show. And they asked me what I thought of the raids on Mar-a-Lago. And I remarked that they kicked me off the air right after this. And they never invited me back. I said, look, they're saying that Donald Trump is keeping classified documents and information in a bathroom and in a shower in Mar-a-Lago. And I was like, but the only president I know of who's ever committed a crime in a shower is Joe Biden. If you, and it was like, oh, thanks Chase for coming on. That was great. He's like, oh, nobody's ever actually seen that diary. I'm like, well, you should read it, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? The greatest part about X, I think, is, you know, people think that, oh, well, it's just an echo chamber and it's not real life and such. But the reason that you saw, let's say, in the Oval Office today, I could name lots of examples, but in the Oval Office, they talk about the sentiment that MAGA feels toward the DOJ and the administration right now for basically saying the Epstein files are just a you know, figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sentiment is relayed to legacy media from X. It's not on any other platform. You're not allowed to talk about this stuff on any other platform. And that's where this stuff is getting the most traction, the most views. You know, going back to like what's going on in say Western North Carolina, Maui, Texas, like those these things are the reason that they are so covered is because of this platform. And I think it's literally, I'm not trying to fluff Elon or anything here, but it is a massive game changer in the media sphere. Like, I think Alex Jones was banned from Twitter.
100%.
And like every other platform.
Yeah. We were literally just on the radio for years because we got banned everywhere else. And it all happened within the same week, I think, because it was a conspiracy among the different tech leaders. And that's a whole other story. I mean, everybody's heard it a million times. But I want to talk to you guys a little bit about this new development with this FBI criminal probe into John Brennan and James Comey. And guys, I want to play clips 42 and 16 back to back, 42 and 16. First, we're going to see President Trump responding to the criminal investigation in James Comey and John Brennan. And then we're going to see John Brennan respond to the probe on MSNBC. It's just disgusting. So play 42 and 16 back to back, please.
Hey, President Trump, James Comey and John Brennan now under criminal investigation related to the Trump-Russia probe. Do you want to see these two guys behind bars?
Well, I know nothing about it other than what I read today, but I will tell you, I think they're very dishonest people. I think they're crooked as hell, and maybe they have to pay a price for that. I believe they are truly bad people and dishonest people. So whatever happens, happens.
As you point out, Marco Rubio, who, you know, he's a different person now, quite frankly. I think when he was in the Intelligence Committee, I think he really tried to carry out national security responsibilities in a very appropriate manner and tried to not just, you know, bring politics into it. So, again, I think that SSCI report, the Mueller investigation, the Durham investigation and review, all of this, I think, again, validates what happened in terms of Russian interference, the conclusions that assessment that Russia tried to interfere to enhance Donald Trump's prospects in that election, to damage Hillary Clinton, and to undermine the integrity of our election process. Those have really stood up and have been validated and supported by subsequent reviews, very thorough reviews. So, again, this is something that I think is made up out of, unfortunately, whole cloth, and they're just trying to see what, you know, they're able to get to stick to the media wall.
Made up out of whole cloth. You would know something about that. It's unbelievable. What do you guys think? Do you think this probe is going to amount to anything?
You know, it's hard to look. There's a lot that's happened this week. Okay, It's been a lot. Until we get some sort of answers about why the Epstein investigation disappeared, it's really hard for me to believe that anything is going to go anywhere at this point. And I don't feel like that's a I feel like that's a pretty fair opinion to have. It's tough. We need some answers because Epstein was also under. They were also said they were going to take a deep dive into all that, release all the files and everything. Obviously, we already talked about this. They didn't do it. You know, I want so badly
to trust everything these people say. But, you know, after we were just like, I feel betrayed almost a little bit. You know, that was a promise. Just at least give us what you have. Make us feel a little bit better with it. And not feel like we were just like totally lied to. I don't know. I mean, is that a fair opinion at this point?
Is it a distraction, Nick?
Well, you got in trouble for asking that question last night on Twitter. So, and that's a possibility. And the reason that the reason that I have such a hard time like saying that this is a distraction or something is because I believe Dan Bongino is a good guy. I do. I believe that
he is a really good.
Yeah. And so like I sit here and I trip over my words because I'm like, you know, if it was, and that is the only thing holding me back from just ripping this entire thing apart is because I believe at this point that Dan Bongino is a good guy. And if he has the power to do it, he's not going to be engaged in any sort of cover up. He's not going to cover for pedophiles and such.
Right.
He doesn't need this. I mean, it's not like this is his career. He can go back to doing whatever he was doing before.
He does look freaked out, though, relative to his clips from a couple years ago. You look at clips from his podcast, and he's happy, and he's got life in him. He looks freaked out in everything that I see of him.
And so at this point, like, I haven't made up my mind on how I feel about this yet. You know, typically, I'm very, very opinionated. I'm very quick on my opinions to give it to you. But, like, at this point, I have so many questions, and I'm trying so hard to give Dan Bongino, in particular, the benefit of the doubt that...
I think Kash Patel seems like the kid in junior high that lied about where he went on vacation on spring break to impress his friends. You know? Oh, you went to Hawaii? Yeah, that's cool. I went to the Great Wall in China and hung out with the president, you know?
Yeah.
Tim Walz is like, really?
Tim Walz.
That must have been awesome.
Oh, my God.
Were there tampons in the bathroom?
Oh, dude. The way he would just walk around like this on the stage, you know? He's like literally like, I'm like, dude, are you trying to act like your kid? Like, oh, where do we get it from? It's unbelievable to me how disconnected this like the entire political class is from anything.
How he was loading his shotgun and unloading his shotgun.
Yeah.
Why did they publish that video?
You got to keep a clean
that was the worst
air filter
idea of his PR guy was to post that picture.
Yeah.
The one where he's sitting there struggling to figure out, he's like, oh, this has been in the family for so long or whatever.
It's like Chuck Schumer making burgers.
Oh, man. He's never going to live that one down.
Yeah, I wear a camo hat all the time.
You should have seen the memes when I posted the other day about Chuck Schumer being in the hospital in D.C. It was like, it was the burgers, wasn't it?
Oh,
that's it. It had to be. He was making lunch again. That's it.
He was in the hospital?
Yeah, he was in the hospital. They said it was an allergic reaction, but it was coincidentally right around lunchtime. So, you know, it was, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Could have been that burger. Yeah.
But for whatever reason, nobody really had any concern about what he was actually in the hospital for. So, I don't know. Weird, weird. Can't imagine why.
Well, he would certainly be sorely missed. So, my thing with this FBI investigation, it seems like oftentimes these investigations are simply so they can say that they did an investigation and found nothing. We just saw a little bit of that with the Epstein thing. We certainly saw it with the Hillary Clinton emails in 2016. There's a pattern throughout history of we did an investigation, we couldn't find any evidence of crime, third parties or whatever. So there's that angle where they can at least say that they looked into it and then deny that there's any evidence, which seems really plausible to me. And the other factor when it comes to the Brennans and the Comeys, we know that the CIA and the FBI, they're very siloed organizations. There's need to know, and they isolate information that way. There are cliques within the organization. There are people that are the MAGA people on the white hats, and then there are the people that are more subversive. And it's not like one thing. It's the culmination of many things that are conflicting and even having internal schisms and battles with themselves. There's this whole subversive war going on, I think, within our own intelligence community that we never hear about because, well, that's what an intelligence community does. And so, that being said, I think there are people within the FBI that are still certainly Comey acolytes that, you know, think he was great. He never did anything wrong. What he was doing was in the best interest of the national security of the United States. I think that there are still people within the CIA, certainly, that love Brennan. And they thought, oh, it was good that we were calling attention to this Russia hoax thing, even if it was made up, because Donald Trump is a major threat to national security. We've seen that attitude from the political class and the deep state around Trump for 10 years now. And so I'm thinking, who within this organization is actually doing the probe or the investigation? Because the organizations that are investigating them are just as likely to be the organization that would cover for them.
Right. So, you know, I spoke at the I spoke with a be careful how I say this, the a very high ranking official, intelligence official at the White House, who I asked them,
Laura Loomer.
I asked them how many people in your circle in the department that you run, how many people can you trust within that apparatus? And they said, I can count them on my hand. And I believe that, right?
Wow.
You know, taking out the, and you're talking thousands of people.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. There are a ton of holdovers. These people have been here. They are master manipulators. They're from the Comey days and the Brennan days and such. And it's hard sometimes to figure out who they are. Who is a snake? Who's not a snake? Who's looking to undermine you? It's like you're going straight into enemy territory.
Right.
And it's tough, I can imagine, even for somebody like, you know, Dan Bongino and Cash Patel to weed these people out of the FBI. Like, that's got to be half the job here, is taking out the trash.
I bet it's more than half.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, so, and there's only so much they can say about that. So I'm like, you know, as much as I want an update on that, I understand why they can't tell us. And I think the FBI probably, and we probably all agree here, is one of the most corrupt organizations
yes.
in the United States
yes.
by far. And so, like,
it's shifted from a law enforcement agency to an intelligence agency in the
yes.
last 10 or 20 years.
Yep.
And that's when things got really hairy.
Right. And so what I want to know, and this is a question that a lot of people have, is, were there files at some point and we believe they have now been destroyed? That's an answer that a lot of us want as well. If that's the case, just tell us that. Why not tell us that? You can't say, well, it just, I mean, essentially the memo just read, there's no,
see, but
no,
even if they'd
guys,
all been destroyed, no, they certainly know all of the victims, and they could have gone and re-interviewed them and recreated all the evidence.
Right. You know, because Jeffrey Epstein was, you know, charged in both federally and in the state of Florida while, so Pam Bondi seems to be acting like she had, you know, no idea that she was caught off guard by the fact that there were so many more files in that little binder that she had on the, that she gave out, right? But she was the Attorney General of Florida while Jeffrey Epstein was being investigated and prosecuted in Miami or in Palm Beach
yep.
the first time, right? She didn't have anything to do with, you know, the actual prosecution.
Well, she was probably told that he belonged to intelligence.
Well, and so that's the question that a lot of us have, too. It
yeah.
seems like
a simple press conference to come out and say exactly what Nick's saying.
Yeah.
Hey, the documents were destroyed.
Yep.
They were on my desk.
Yep.
They were destroyed. Just something to tell the American people.
They just know that if they say what happened, which in my opinion, my humble opinion, is they realized there were national security implications because of his association with certain strategic allies working with our intelligence community. And they don't want the public, they cannot admit it to the public that we, the taxpayer, funded human trafficking and child sexual abuse for the sake of a blackmail ring on politicians. They can't do it. And they can't do it now, especially that we're in a place where we could be at war with China at any moment through the proxies of Israel and Iran. Iran's a proxy of China, Israel a proxy of the United States. That's what's really going on. And I don't think Trump knew that before he signed the EO. Folks, we're coming to a break. We're going to be right back on the other side. Thank you so much, Nick Sordor and Gunther Eagleman. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you. Stay with us for more news and analysis for the last 30 minutes of tomorrow's News Tonight. And in the meantime, go to thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we will always be on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here at the Bigley Manufacturing and Production and Fulfillment Center. It's one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen in my entire life. You can see here, we've got some amazing products like the Ultra Methylene Blue Capsules, light you up like a Christmas tree. We've got the tincture version of it as well, which makes you feel like you're plugged directly into the wall. Amazing new Irish Sea Moss. We've got the Power Plant, which is incredible, especially if you take it with the methyl drive. We call it the Power Drive. But this is one of the most impressive operations that I've ever seen. So many people working day and night to fulfill orders. We're shipping out orders within 72 hours of them being placed on the alexjonesstore.com. And it's all possible because you support us at the alexjonesstore.com. But you can see over here, we've got shirts lined up.
They're all numbered in the system so we can run by and fulfill orders as quickly as possible. There's dozens of people running around here right as we speak, just fulfilling orders like crazy, and you're the reason that Alex Jones is always going to be on the air. Let me show you some more. Yeah, you can see here that they've just got stacks and stacks and stacks in this warehouse of product and product and product. And a lot of these are the Shilajit gummies, which are one of our best sellers. You can see them labeled up here. We've got the Shilajit capsules. We've got methylene blue. We've got silver coins lined up. They lock those up in the back because they're so valuable. And they're absolutely incredible collector's items. Plus shirts upon shirts, hats upon hats. I want to show you a little bit about how the hats and the shirts are produced. Tell me a little bit about how this machine works, what you're doing over here.
So this is a UV printer. This is a machine that basically, if we want to put any design on something that is not apparel, this is what we do. It's mainly for putting on leather so that we can cut them out and put them on the heads, make them all nice and everything like that.
So you're printing the leather right over here, and then after it gets printed out, it goes over here to Cowboy to polish up?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about what you do over here and polishing the leather and stuff.
Well, what I do over here is I take these patches that come from our engraver and our UV printer over there. I get them all cleaned up with the saddle soap and everything, making them more supple, easier to deal with when we're doing what we need to do with them, putting them on the hats. And then I take this mink oil, this right here, and I take a good, generous portion of it off my finger and put it on each patch. And that gives it basically a water-resistant barrier. It makes it to where it's impervious to the elements. And then if people at home want to treat the hats again after they get them, they're more than welcome to do that. That'll extend the life of your hat and just get it all around better look.
Essentially, we get the orders in. We organize the graphics we get. We create layouts. And then we put the ink down, the adhesive powder. Big heater dries them on, and then we ship them off to pressers.
This is upstairs of the facility where Bigly produces everything for the AlexJonesStore.com. These people handle web development, email campaigns, text campaigns, everything that we need to stay operational and ensure that the InfoWars audience gets all the products that they need as quickly as possible and knows about all the incredible deals. So go to the AlexJonesStore.com and support us right now. Keep Alex Jones on the air.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect. But most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
The war for tomorrow begins tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is tomorrow's News Tonight. Just had a great conversation with Nick Swartor and Gunther Eagleman in studio. What an honor and a pleasure it is to be associated with and know those two fine gentlemen. Going to cover some of the latest other details this last 24 minutes and 7 seconds. Antifa violence, why terrorist designation remains elusive. Do you remember how insistent Antifa was that they weren't a formal organization, that it was just an idea? Many people were perplexed why they would seemingly consistently have the same narrative or rhetoric around the nature of their organization. Oh, no, it's not an organization, it's just an idea. It's just a slogan, just a word. We're not really a group. We're not really associated or affiliated with one another, even though we're all funded in every different city by the same NGOs funded by the same Soros. Well, the reason, of course, that Antifa insists that it's not an entity or a gang or an organization is because they don't want to get RICO'd. One person commits a crime who's a member of Antifa, then everybody else can be prosecuted as a result. So they're trying to dodge the law, and we've seen the left come out time and time again and claim that all of this violence that takes place in the United States is actually a result of right-wing extremism and rhetoric. They're always advocating for things like censorship to stifle misinformation or disinformation while they misinform and disinform everyone as much as possible with their what was a former monopoly on the press, legacy media conglomeration. But I want to show you clip 12 here. Actually, skip 12, 17. I want to show you clip 17 where Sam Harris and David French get into it a little bit. And I'm going to show you some other clips too of different leftists saying that violence is coming from us, juxtaposed to evidence that it's actually coming from the left. I mean, we know this, but just watch this clip.
Well, I could say the same thing about Tucker Carlson, right? And you might, whether you agree with me or not, this is my view of him, that he's not in the truth-seeking journalistic integrity business. He's got some other political project that entails spreading a fair amount of misinformation quite cynically and consciously and smearing lots of people. And in the case of, you know, I don't know how deep his anti-Semitism runs, but in the case of that particular topic, midwifing a very misleading conversation with an amateur historian who he considers the greatest historian working in America today, Daryl Cooper, the podcaster. And, you know, the opinion expressed, again, this is like, this is at the highest possible level in our information ecosystem, to the largest audience. You know, few historians in human history have ever had a bigger audience than Daryl Cooper had on Tucker's podcast and then quickly followed by his appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast, right? And on that podcast, he spread the lie that, you know, the recycled, David Irving point that, you know, the Holocaust is not at all what it seemed, and you wouldn't believe it, but the Nazis really never intended to kill the Jews. They just rounded up so many prisoners in their concentration camps and found that they just didn't have enough food during winter to feed them, and they just were put in this just impossible situation. And might it not seem more compassionate to euthanize these starving prisoners in the end, right? I mean, that's how they accidentally stumbled into the final solution, right? That's what he spread, again, to the largest possible audience. And in Tucker's case, you had a very, I would say, you know, sinister midwifing of that conversation. In Joe's case, he just doesn't know when he's in the presence of recycled David Irving and is just happy to have a conversation with a podcaster of whom he's a great fan. And but yet he's still culpable for not having done enough homework to adequately push back about what's being said to his, again, to his audience, which is the largest podcast audience on earth. So it's journalistically, and I know Joe doesn't consider himself a journalist. He considers himself a comedian who's just having fun conversations. Great, but
here's the fallacy here. There's so much to unpack here. First of all, it's a mischaracterization of anything that Cooper actually said, and all that stuff has been clarified. It didn't even need to be clarified. It was clear the first time that it was said. So he's saying what Daryl Cooper said and then attacking him for that, but he never said that. And the other avenue of this is the appeal to authority fallacy. It's a logical fallacy. It's very well known. Just because someone is an expert or an authority doesn't mean they are inherently right about anything in that topic or subject. It's an appeal to authority to say, oh, you're not actually an educated historian, therefore your opinion doesn't matter on history. Because there are educated historians who are wrong about history all the time. Constant headlines breaking. Scientists now believe that the earliest humans dwelled on the Earth 400,000 years ago, not 200,000 years. So all the experts were wrong before. Appeal to authority. It's obvious. The third thing is, Sam Harris, if you don't know, formerly a member of what was called the intellectual dark web, did an outstanding debate with Jordan Peterson on the existence of God many years ago, formerly very respected among people who even disagreed with him. Sam Harris basically fell out of grace, apparently lost his mind. I don't know that he's actually insane, but he's so embittered by the political outcomes that have taken place over the course of the last couple of years that he made the statement, I think it was on Konstantin Kissin's podcast, he didn't care if there were the bodies of dead children found in Joe Biden's basement, he would still vote for him over Donald Trump. That's what he said. So this is somebody who's talking about misinformation, disinformation, disingenuous conversations, media manipulation, and criticizing Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan of all people. And Daryl Cooper saying, hey, this is dangerous that you're having Holocaust deniers on. I didn't even deny the Holocaust. He just provided context that you can agree with or disagree with. It was obviously an atrocity. It obviously happened because the Germans allowed it to happen. Made it happen. But he's saying that's so dangerous. And this is all after he said he didn't care if the bodies of dead children were found in Joe Biden's basement, he would still vote for him over Donald Trump. So at that point, you just don't get an opinion anymore. But here's Jasmine Crockett, another genius among us, saying that the violence is all coming from MAGA. Let's watch.
The violence doesn't come from Democrats, just to be clear. Oh. I mean, obviously, anyone can be a criminal, but it is MAGA. It's specifically MAGA faction. Like, I don't think traditional Republicans are getting engaged in all of this, but, like, even when we look at, and they don't talk about the assassination attempts anymore that took place with Donald Trump, but these right. these were Trump supporters, right? As
look,
well
you're not
as
a supporter of someone if you try to assassinate him. I'm pretty sure that attempting to assassinate someone is the embodiment of being opposed to them. How could you be in more opposition to someone than attempting to take their life? What the hell is she even talking about? First of all, she goes to Party City before she goes on that podcast. She asks the lady behind the counter if they have any bumblebee costumes. She finds the closest thing, puts it on, and then says, hey, those people that tried to assassinate Donald Trump, well, they were Trump supporters. So MAGA is making, it doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. And it doesn't matter that it makes any sense. Because we're talking about a cult on the left that will just eat up whatever their leaders say. It's an absolute cult. Gavin Newsom came out, this is clip 19, criticizing Trump, saying he wants to bring America back to the 1960s, as if that's a bad thing. Let's watch.
What we're experiencing is America in reverse. They're trying to bring us back to a pre-1960s world on voting rights. You know it well. Civil rights, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and not just, you know, access to abortion, but also access to simple reproductive care, contraceptions.
Oh, the 1960s, huh? He's trying to bring us back to the 1960s when everybody stayed married forever and had children. He's trying to bring us back to the age of the Norman Rockwell painting. How horrible is that? In so many ways, things were so much better for everyone, minorities included, in the 1960s. I know the Civil Rights Act didn't pass until 1964, so obviously before 64, things were explicitly, objectively worse in the country for minorities and civil rights and things of that nature. But you realize that it's the policies of the left and the democratic machine and the military-industrial complex that forced us to get off the gold standard and caused hyperinflation. Hyperinflation, which disproportionately impacted minority communities, women, people of color, the poor among us, the most vulnerable among us. So what happens when in the 1960s, maybe you're a black man and you're married to your wife and you go to church every Sunday and your children go to public school. It's integrated now. And as a black man, you are able to work every day and provide for your family in a modest but nice home in a safe neighborhood. You're just barely getting by, but you can do it. And then all of a sudden, we detach from the gold standard, the gold backing of the U.S. dollar, and there's hyperinflation, and everything is 10, 20, 30% more expensive, but your income doesn't go up because you're a lower middle class person, and it just doesn't operate like that. And if trickle-down economics is true, it might be. It's certainly latent. And so at that point in time, your wife has to get a job too. Enter feminism, the psychological cope for the fact that men could no longer provide for their families. And so now that your wife is working and you're working just to make ends meet because this inflation has come out of nowhere because of democratic policies and overspending and dishonesty in our political class, you're not home to spend time with your children in the evenings. And so they're hanging out with the other neighborhood kids. There's no supervision whatsoever. They're not doing as well in school. And since you're not making as much money because of the inflation and everybody's struggling so much, the tax revenue in your neighborhood goes down, property values go down, and so the schools then become less well-funded. Then the education becomes inferior. And you don't have time to go to church on Sunday because you're picking up an extra shift, and so is your wife. And you're so financially stressed out that now you and your wife are going to get a divorce because financial stress is the number one cause of divorce. So your children are raised by a single mother who's working three jobs. You're working all the time, and the single mother's blaming you for the reason things didn't work out, attempting to alienate your children from you. They have no father figure, and since they have no father figure, then they have no supervision. These children turn to petty crime. Maybe a little bit of marijuana here, a little bit of car theft here, a little bit of break-ins here, just hanging out with the wrong crowd. And over time, over decades, this is how you get the culture that we see in these minority communities now. It's not a genetic issue. It's not a race issue. It's just they were a vulnerable class of people socioeconomically, and that problem was exacerbated. So it's not some prejudice or capitalism or greed or bad white supremacist policy that has resulted in what's happened to these communities over the years. It's an irresponsible government that overspends. And this is why Elon Musk is so upset with the Big Beautiful Bill, which overall, I think I support it, the Big Beautiful Bill. But raising the debt ceiling $5 trillion is a step backward. And I get why Trump did it. We have to win the space race. We have to win the artificial intelligence arms race. We have to win the economic war with China. And if he raises the debt ceiling $5 trillion, he doesn't have to negotiate new budget deals, new deficit deals with the Democrats every 6 months, which can totally get in the way of an administration's agenda. And keep in mind, raising the debt ceiling is not the same thing as spending the money. He didn't spend the $5 trillion. This bill, this big, big, beautiful bill, only spends $267 billion, as I understand it. And we know that over time, over the course of the next 10 years, yes, absolutely, Congress will spend all the money, because whenever you raise the debt ceiling, it always gets spent. So I understand why Elon Musk is critical of it, doesn't like it, because he's concerned about the nation going bankrupt. I'm concerned about it too. But I also understand why Trump did it. And I don't think it's a fault of his character that he made the decision that he made. It's just an exercise of judgment, which is his prerogative as the elected president of the United States. But the fact that you have the Gavin Newsoms who do things like eat at restaurants called the French Laundry in the middle of a pandemic while making other people all over your state shut down their businesses and wear masks, and you're not wearing a mask and you're at one of the most expensive restaurants in one of the most expensive parts of the country, just having a good time as the governor in this crisis, is indicative of such hypocrisy. It's just remarkable how untenable it is. But here's clip 20 of Glenn Beck talking about the Democratic Socialists of America and what they're doing, what they're signaling. Let's watch.
With Mamdani, the DSA is signaling that their time has now arrived. Nowhere is this clearer than what has been dubbed the People's Republic of Astoria, which is Mamdani's home district in Queens. This place has become the first district in the U.S. to elect a socialist at every level of government, city council, state assembly, U.S. Congress, and now potentially the mayor's office. It is a socialist utopia in the making. Astoria is Democrats, their testing ground. Ocasio-Cortez is the reigning queen of this movement. New York Working Families Party and the DSA were instrumental in her 2018 upset over Joe Crowley, a Democratic machine politician. They're using the same playbook to get Mamdani elected. And her rise was not a one-off.
So you don't have to see the whole three-minute clip. I'm just going to tell you what he says. The exact same process, system, and even people and institutions that selected and created, manufactured AOC are doing the same thing with Mamdani. And they're doing it all over the country. And this is just one of many of their effective methods at getting away with choosing our leaders for us. Leaders who don't lead, but actually work for shadowy interests. And look, I'm scared. I'm scared about the future for a lot of reasons. I'm scared about potentially going to World War III because of the monetary system that we have in place globally and how it's unsustainable and it's a Ponzi scheme. I'm scared about losing the trade war with China for global reserve status of the dollar, which would result in the collapse of our currency and then basically present the world to China on a platter to create a central bank digital currency, a yen, and control everything. I'm worried about losing the artificial intelligence race with China too, because they could weaponize that in so many different ways. It's not even funny. Mostly psychological operations, raising our children for us through personally catered content and information on apps like TikTok and others. TikTok's just an example of the CCP launching software, social manipulation into the country, and then using the algorithms to manipulate people. I'm worried about losing the space race with China. If Elon Musk and Donald Trump have a falling out and SpaceX doesn't get contracts, then we don't have the right rockets to get the correct satellite array in place to have dominance in the new frontier, outer space, to take the high ground, both for reasons of national security as well as energy. It's a lot of technology being developed to transmit energy from space to the planet wirelessly. But I'm also worried about winning the economic war with China, because I've seen what the United States did over the last 50 years with freezing assets, sanctions, because it was the global reserve currency. And I've seen what it's been like going to war after war after war in the Middle East just because of the nature of our money and having to protect the trade of oil in dollars. I'm scared of us winning the artificial intelligence race against China as well, because I'm not sure that I trust the government or the corporations that will develop and wield this technology, which could be used for incredible good, but could also be deployed against the interests of the American people and on the American people. We know that the intelligence community does this because they did it with MKUltra and so many other thousands of examples. And I'm scared about winning the space race against China as well, because if we do establish this Golden Dome and it's got massive surveillance, then we've basically created a government which is like a false god. Remember, the definition of God is the entity that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. It's all powerful, it's all knowing, and it's everywhere. And if we establish the Golden Dome and we win the AI race and we dominate economically, then we've created a government that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, a false god. And just like God made us in his image, and we fell and didn't live up to that image, now we are making artificial intelligence in our image. It's an even more inferior, lower resolution step away, deviation from God. It's another degree of separation. And not only are we making this thing in our image, but many of us will worship it as a false idol. Like the story of the Tower of Babel, where in our arrogance, we think we've got it all figured out. And as a result, our whole civilization collapses. And I'm worried about the corruption in our own institutions, FBI, CIA, our political class, its interests, our entanglements with other intelligence agencies all over the world, namely Israel, Mossad. And I'm worried about how corrupt these institutions are, resulting in no ability to solve the problem, no matter how noble the person is at the head of these organizations. You got to keep in mind that if you have a house with a bad foundation, you can't fix it from the roof. And even if you have the best director of the FBI or the best CIA director or the best president of the United States, if these organizations are corrupted at the core, you have to abolish them and rebuild them. So I'm worried about that. The Epstein thing worries me. The debt and the collapse of the dollar worries me. World War III worries me. The CCP worries me. I'm terrified of my own government, which has proven time and time again that it is itself the greatest threat to our national security. Just look at the Patriot Act, 9/11, Gulf of Tonkin, USS Liberty, you name it. And I don't know what to do to stop it, but I do know that I have to do two things. I have to tell the truth whenever I can, as much as I can, to as many people as I can, which is why I work at InfoWars. And I have to never lose hope. Because as soon as you lose hope, you guarantee failure. You guarantee defeat. You have to have faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And so even if our chance of success is only 1% with hope, that's a lot better than 0% without it. I'm not going to be blackpilled. I will hang on to a shred of hope. I won't be naive. But if things do really fall apart and everything collapses and I have to witness the suffering of my people and my family, at least I won't harbor any guilt or feel any guilt as that tragedy occurs, because I'll know that I did everything that I could. And right now I'm calling upon you, the audience, you, the info warrior, you, the patriot, you, the Christian, you, the truth lover. I'm calling on you to do your part. So regardless of whether there's any chance of victory, I'm calling on you to maintain your hope, even if it's just the size of a mustard seed. I'm calling on you to do everything you can to prevent this unacceptable outcome for humanity, this defeat and collapse, so that even if we don't win, we feel no shame when we look at ourselves in the mirror or when we think back on our lives. So at the moment of your death, you can think quietly to yourself, I did everything that I could, instead of I wish I had done more. And I don't know what else to tell you. If I could think of a better way to defeat the New World Order, the Satanists, globalists, whatever you want to call them. Satan has many different faces that he wears for different things. I don't know of a better way than to keep InfoWars on the air or Alex Jones on the air. And the best way to do that is by going to the alexjonesstore.com. And look, the deals are amazing and the products are amazing. The best supplements for your mind and your body at the best price with the best sales. Yeah, I mean, even if you don't believe in anything that we do, you should still buy the supplements. They're incredible for you. I didn't even believe in supplements until I started working here and taking them and noticing the effect. But it's not just the fact that they're incredible for your mind and your body. It's because the alexjonesstore.com is a way that you can fight back. Every dollar that you spend at the alexjonesstore.com is a round in the heart of evil itself. There's nothing the leftist, globalist, Satanist, supervillains hate more than when you go to the alexjonesstore.com and support us and keep us on the air. I can't tell you any details, but they're pissed that we're successful. They're pissed that we are doing more and not less in the face of their adversity. They're pissed that Tomorrow's News Tonight is airing weeknights from 9 to 11 p.m. despite the fact they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to shut us down. You guys have been our heroes for 3 decades now. And I'm sorry to tell you that this war is never going to end. The info war never ends. You're either winning it or you're losing it. And humanity needs you to ensure that we are always winning the info war by going to thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris Seamoss Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.